hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I am so excited to have, first of all, everyone wants to have a deep dive with a CPA, and I have the honor of having Jason Malabute. Did I say that right, Jason?
You did.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. I'm so happy about that. So I have him here to, first of all, just to talk about his financial journey. And also, we're going to pick his brain about taxes and how that can help make money flow in our lives. So Jason, you want to introduce yourself to our listeners before we start off?
Yes. First of all, Candace, thank you so much for having me on your platform. My name is Jason Malabute. I'm a real estate investor, and I'm also a CPA based in Los Angeles, California.
Beautiful. Do you, so as a based in Los Angeles, can you do taxes all over the US? Like, how does that work?
Yes. So I'm licensed here in California, which is actually one of the hardest states to get licensed in, but I'm able to serve clients nationwide.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. That's great. So before we start off with the podcast, Jason, I've mentioned before we started recording that I like to do the self-praise showcase. And for our listeners, if it's this first episode, society frowns upon us sharing about our own personal triumphs. It's frowned upon, and I think that's wrong. I want to change that. And so I want to hold the space for listeners. I want to hold the space for you, Jason, to share something, whether it's big or small, is something that you are really proud of yourself for and accomplishing.
I would say that there's a lot of things to me, whether it was buying my first single family house rental in 2019 or becoming a general partner in my first multi-family deal last year, or starting my own accounting firm this year. But I would say that what I'm most proud of is just going for it. Because I remember it was a couple days ago, it was super early in the morning. I've really studied, I've really done some of my emails, I've really done some meetings, and now I was walking to the gym. This was around 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, and then when I was crossing the street, I crossed paths with somebody who was homeless. And like, I'm not comparing myself to anybody because you never know what somebody went through in life. And that's not the point. So my point is, here is somebody who I assume was born here in America, who was able-bodied, but like, I could guess that he didn't really apply himself as much as he could. That's why he's in the position that he is at. And I'm here trying to do everything I can to become successful. So I would say that's my biggest thing that I'm proud of. It's really living life with purpose.
I love that. I love the fact, too, that you acknowledge, even though you are only to compare yourself with yourself, that in doing so, even though you were observing someone else, but you weren't necessarily judging them, you were just looking at their life and then pondering, and then it went back on you. And that's the way that Yes, we learn from looking at what other people do. We never know what is going on with other people's situations. But I want to acknowledge you for and hold that space with you, because it is, there's a lot of fear, just little tiny baby steps and taking and stepping forward, that if we don't do it, our life is the same day for multiple years in a row, and sometimes lifetimes. And once you take a step to do one small different thing, it's almost like doors start to open that you never knew were there. And you just, when you did your introduction and you talked about you bought the single family, then you went into the multifamily, now you're opening your firm. When you first started buying the single family residence, would you have thought of opening your own tax firm? Was that like in the picture?
No, oh. In fact, it wasn't in the picture until maybe a couple months ago, because I've been in accounting, I've been in tax since 2013, and I've always had a fear of opening my own firm because I thought that for you to have your own accounting firm, you have to know every single tax code. You gotta know every single strategy out there. And I've talked to a lot of accounting firm owners, and what I realized is that nobody really knows everything. That's why it's important for you to specialize in a certain niche, so that you can be an expert in that niche, whether it's real estate or something else.
And that makes sense. And the first thing that comes to mind is we can relate all of that when it comes to health. So you wouldn't just go to a primary care doctor to have brain surgery.
Yeah.
But we're not, anything that comes to finances, we're not taught. So I want to dive in into a lot of things with you about, first of all, I love the fact that you are starting your own firm and you're stepping into that space, because owning a business, first of all, you have to have a certain mentality to be able to do that. It's not an easy thing to do, even if you're familiar with whatever subject matter that you're approaching a business on. But the other aspect of it is, you're right, you're never going to know everything. And it's very interesting that you said that, because I'm part of another single family membership group that I've been with for a little while. And we're always talking tax strategies and things. And we're always like, my accountant said this, my accountant said that. And we're going back and forth and we're like, which one is it? And the mentor said that he was talking to an auditor for the IRS. And he said, look, there's so many tax laws out there that no one in a lifetime could even read them all. And he said that it is all based upon interpretation
Exactly.
of the circumstance of which they are being applied. And
Yeah.
yeah, and that's a frustrating part. It's also probably a really good thing, but that's a frustrating part as a person trying to do taxes, to understand, can or I cannot do this, because there's our basics that are applied, but not necessarily this is the only way. And sometimes I wish that was the way, so it would seem clearer. Yet at the same time, that can actually be used to our benefit when navigating through how to best effectively take deductions. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you are 100% right. I love your example that you would not go to a doctor that specializes in a heart, the human heart, to do brain surgery, right? And then it's the same thing when it comes to your CPA. We could making sure that you're consulting your CPA that specializes in your niche. If that's real estate, then make sure that they specialize in real estate. But the challenge is that a lot of the CPAs out there, they are risk averse by nature, and I am too. But what I'm saying is, most of them have never done a real estate deal before. So then they only understand it through theory, but they've never been in your shoes before. It's another level if you're working with a CPA who's actually done deals before and knows what you're going through now. And to build on another thing that you said, Candace, yes, every CPA should have their own focus in it, and that there's no CPA that knows every single tax code out there. That is why I have other CPAs actually pay me to do research for them regarding real estate.
Oh, wow. There's like a whole nother
Yeah.
level to your business that it never occurred to me. That's really interesting. Oh, I love that. That also gives me a better, I don't know why it kind of gives me relief to know that you do inter. I just see it as networking back and forth, but I never thought about it in that way. So now it just opens up another door to understanding the whole tax accountant CPA world. Not that I ever want to go there, but it does allow me to, it gives me, I think what helps me in knowing that is that if I am using a CPA, then I can say, hey, do you know of any other CPAs that you could ask? If I like the CPA first or been with them for such a long time, it never occurred to me that you all interact with each other in that manner. So that's a tidbit that my brain is still going to be digesting, I think, a little bit more on that one. So now, Jason, so let's see. So with that being said, one of the biggest challenges for me, and I'm a pretty smart person, and I've been in business for 32 years. And so I do my own books. I know a lot about taxes just in over the years, creating my chart of accounts, how I should apply this or that. And again, depending on which accountant I go to, sometimes those chart of accounts assignments shift and change and get confusing. So with that being said, how can you give our listeners and myself some really good tips? If they're looking for an accountant, what are some smart questions to ask? And how can you be, I know there's no guarantee, but how can you be assured that you're actually getting an accountant that's really good at what they do?
Yeah, I would say by asking them questions about their past, for example, asking them how long have they been doing this? How many of their clients focus on are in a certain niche, whether that's real estate or not? Asking them what kind of clients do they like working with, what kind of clients they don't like working with, what is their biggest challenge that they've had of working with their clients who are in a certain niche? Are there things that's gone wrong when it comes to working with their clients in a certain niche? And now, when you ask those kind of open-ended questions, then you'll get more of a sense whether that accountant has that background that make them a good fit for you right now.
I wish I knew that before when I've been hiring accountants in the past. I will definitely say that. I always felt like it was asking too much of a personal information, yet at the same time, it's when I think about it, what you're saying and the way that that you do have to interact with your clientele. It makes sense to talk about what kind of clients do you want to work with, what kind of clients that you do have on a regular basis, particularly knowing that, for instance, because we're familiar with real estate, if they have a lot of clients in real estate, and real estate is a broad definition, that there's a lot of different applications to real estate in the tax world, And so if they deal with clients that are predominantly in real estate, then you'll know that the various forms, they're not just narrowed in on just multifamily real estate. There are probably people that hold notes or people are just limited partner investors. There's just all these different gamuts. Their exposure level is higher. And I agree 100%. Sometimes to have, I'll finish that sentence, I'm sorry, to having the CPA actually, if you're in real estate, to have that, to know that they, them too, are actively participating in real estate investing in some way, shape, or form. Ideally, I love the fact of knowing that you're a general partner when I think about that, because as a general partner, you're really in the nuts and bolts of it. You're in that tool chest moving things around. And for someone like myself coming to a CPA, I'll say, okay, so I have this expense, or I'm thinking about this. Will this be something that would be a tax benefit or not? But not knowing how to articulate to the direction, but no, talking to a CPA who's in it could pick up and say, oh no, we'll think about it this way and we'll attach it over here on this side of the tax form. I know that's really vague, but I can't think of something right off the top of my head. I'll tell you something that really has always been something going back and forth is I hold properties with contract for deed. So in doing that, for our listeners that aren't familiar with that, basically I'm like the mortgage company, yet I haven't fully transferred the title over to the buyer because I'm still on title. So I'm holding a contract for deed. And there's always for that one, this is where it's okay. So is the income coming in? Is that rent? Or is the income coming in? Is that part of a installment plan of capital gains and interest? And so you talk about it differently and how that individual real estate transaction is structured from the beginning, I must add, everyone. That is how it can then be open to discussion of how it's applied in taxes. Is that like a good example for something like that?
Yes, and that is why accountants have a notorious stereotype of every time that you ask them a question, the answer is always it depends because
Yes.
because you can't really give advice on something until you really understand the entire picture, because that's something that could be left out that could affect the entire scenario.
Yeah, that right there could just be the podcast what you just said could be the podcast in itself, because one of the most frustrating things that I found in trying to talk with accountants has and CPAs has to do with everything is it depends. It's like, Irv. It's almost like when you're a kid and you want to do something, and then your parent says, they can't come up with any other reason. Like my mother used to say, if I got the answer of no, my mother would say, and I would say, why not? And my mother would say, because I'm your mother. That's what it would feel like to me when a CPA would say, it depends. It depends on what? Tell me more. Give me more information around that. Oh, wow. That's really awesome. Do you have anything else to add to our listeners to maybe some smart questions to ask? Would it be scenarios? Could you fill in a little bit more on that?
Obviously, when there's sometimes a disconnect, right? Because as a client, I totally understand. I do the same thing too whenever I'm talking to a lawyer, right? I want to get as much value as I can. I want to get specific advice for my particular question as much as I can before actually engaging them and paying money. But as a CPA, as a lawyer, obviously you want to get paid for your information that you know. But also, just like what I said before, it's hard to really advise somebody on something until you fully understand the whole picture. So going back to your question, if you were to ask a question about your specific situation, I guess instead of asking them during the opening meeting about your specific question, problem, I would ask them if they've ever handled or dealt with a similar situation before. For example, if let's say you're asking about offsetting your W-2 income with your passive losses, you could ask them that question. You could ask them like, "Hey, like, how can I offset my W-2 income with my real estate losses?" And I'm go and then the CPA is probably going to tell you, well, it depends on your situation. It depends how much money you're making. Are you married? Are you a real estate professional? All this stuff. Versus if you ask them, have you ever helped a client offset their W-2 income with their passive losses if they make more than $150,000? Because I heard that if you make more than $150,000, then you cannot deduct your passive losses to offset your W-2 income, then the accountant can say, yes, we have. And what we could do is that we could see if you qualify as a real estate professional so that we can offset your W-2 income with your passive losses, even if you make more than $150,000 per year.
Out of curiosity, why 150,000? Why do they have that as like the cutoff?
Don't know the particular question, but they're going, that just the number that they have is at $150,000. Is there, because how it works is that they give you a $25,000 allowance for you to offset your earned income with passive losses. However, for every dollar that's over $100,000, that gets reduced. Once you hit $150,000, then that amount is completely wiped out. So that's why once you get past $150,000, we need to look at ways of how can you qualify as a real estate professional.
Okay, now that makes sense. The dollar amount doesn't make sense, but the shifting in the ways that makes sense. And I also, if I'm understanding correctly, just in the big picture around taxes, they're really about the more you actually participate on a business level, the more tax benefits that you have. And in a way, it's encouraging people to branch out and move forward. You have a lot to choose from. You can take more tax benefits if you have a business, the more you participate in commerce, so to speak. Is that kind of a fair thing to say?
Yes, because you have to remember that the whole purpose of the U.S. tax code is to encourage or discourage certain behaviors from people to do what the government encourages to do. So, for example, the government rewards you for having a business because you employ a lot of U.S. citizens. Same thing with real estate, right? We have a housing shortage right now in America. So that's why the government gives you so many tax breaks, and so that you are encouraged to buy properties and provide housing to the US citizen. So that is why we get tax breaks.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm loving this podcast, Jason, because this is, we're talking like layman's terms of big things. And usually when you're talking to a CPA, it tends to be at a higher level and you're able to bring this complex, and it is a complex issue or a subject to just like basic understanding. That's a gift I want to also applaud you on. It's very easy to talk to you about this. I'm hoping that people reach out to you to connect with you about your firm. One of the other things that I was, this is something that I know we talk about a lot in the real estate world. When I know, I'll just share for when I first started getting into the larger multifamily syndications for as a limited partner, meaning I just invest and everybody else does the work, I was going on what I was being told by a lot of different, whether it be podcasters or whether it would be the actual people offering the opportunity to invest with them about all these tax benefits. And when the tax time came around, that was a whole different story because I thought I was going to get a bit more of a tax break, but I didn't really fall into this tax arena that they're talking about with the bonus depreciation and all these things. So can you touch, because I'm not a real estate professional, which I didn't understand that I would not be able to get all these other benefits from it. So could you kind of give us a kind of overview on that?
So I would say that one of the most common questions that I get asked when people inquire about my services is they say, "Hey Jason, I'm a real estate investor and I have a property, but I also have W-2 income. I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, so on and so forth. Should I get class segregation?" Because I heard that when you get class segregation, you're able to deduct a lot of your real estate losses this year. And then that's when I hit them with our favorite response, which is it depends, right? Because here's a scenario, right? Because what if you don't qualify as a real estate professional? And let's say you make more than $150,000, and then let's say you don't really have that much taxable income. Let's say you only have, let's say, $2,000 of a tax liability. Is it really worth you dropping another $5,000, $4,000, $3,000 to do a cost segregation analysis for a tax benefit that you can't really take advantage of this year? In some scenarios, I would say no, it's not worth it. So that's why it really depends on understanding your full picture before making big decisions like doing a cost segregation analysis, because those things are not free.
That touches on something, an experience that I had years ago. I was a sole proprietor, would file a sole proprietor with my business for a long time. And once an accountant had suggested, maybe you want to file as an S corp and pay yourself payroll. And when I started looking into that and weighing the pros and cons, like where's that cutoff line? At the time, I was it like you just said with the cost segregation, where does it make sense financially for the amount of you're paying the corporate excise tax, you're paying the additional accounting fees to do a K-1, applying that then to, are you going to do payroll? There's all these other various factors. And I was like, They're breaking, even though I cried every time I would be filing. So finally, I got to a point in my business where it made sense. And to do that, and I didn't understand the concept. If I'm so happy that I was able to understand that there were additional costs in rolling over into a different type of an entity to run my business. And that is something that I see what you're saying, and I want to touch on. I obviously being paid for your time, how tell us more about it, because everybody has their own business and they run it differently. So for your business, do you provide, and you don't have to give numbers because this podcast extend for long periods of time. So you could say numbers now and how much you have if you have package deals, but how just talk about like in general how your what your firm offers. Does it offer tax planning and accounting packages? How does it break it all down for us so that we know what you have?
Yeah, so first of all, that's the difference between our firm and the other firms out there is we're not going to nickel and dime you when it comes to time. We price everything on value, so meaning it doesn't matter if it takes us, 5 hours to do or if it takes us 10 hours to do, we'll also charge you the same that amount. But yes, to answer your question, we have different packages depending on your needs. Those packages include taxes, bookkeeping, individual tax return preparation if you have partners, back office support. And something else too is the I know my previous firm that I was working at, one of the biggest challenges that clients have is not knowing when the tax return is going to be well done and that when they're going to be filed. And I've even experienced that on the syndication side, because for our properties, we hired a CPA to go and do the accounting and the tax return for that. And sometimes you just don't know when you're going to get the tax returns. When are you going to get the K-1s? And you have your passive investors banging down your door asking you every single day, where is my K-1s? And that you don't know because your accountant is not giving you a clear answer about when are they going to finish your K-1. So
Yes.
that's why in our packages, we have packages where you can actually pick when we work on your tax returns and also whether we file an extension for you or not.
Oh my gosh. Jason, that is the key right there to your firm, if anything, because even I have, ever since I've hired a CPA to do my taxes, and now I will say sometimes it's my own fault for not getting the right information in time to have, and then therefore extension. And it's nothing wrong filing extension, but sometimes it's just exhausting to just, no one likes the tax deadline. And then unless you're getting refunds, and I always end up having to pay a little bit. So I'm just like, I don't want to know about April 15th. But to know that there is basically like an end in sight, really, that is, you've got a niche right there, because you're right. There are like my taxes, I know, just like you're saying, because I am involved in other multifamily deals, I am waiting on the accountant for another company basically to provide me with the tax return, which for those that aren't part of any other business, a K-1 is a tax return that goes to your applied to your individual return for representing your partnership in that particular entity. And so I sometimes have to wait, and nothing is scarier than my accountant still has to do my taxes, but my K-1 is coming and we're like a week and a half before the deadline for not even just for an extension. The extension deadline's coming up. It's, oh my gosh, then what? So that's incredible. That's incredible. I really love that. I really love that. Wow. Let me think we're almost running out of time, but I want to touch on a couple more things. So we did the smart questions and we did the tax laws. Oh, great. We got those covered. Is there anything else that a common question that you ask that you want to elaborate on? Because I just can't tell you how beneficial it is to have this conversation and bringing it into just like the layman terms. I do have this one question I want to ask real quick because I keep forgetting it and it keeps coming up in my head when we're talking. What is the difference between, because I've been interchanging the two and I don't want to insult your title. What's the difference between a CPA and an accountant?
Yeah, so CPA stands for Certified Public Accountant. So the word public means that you are able to provide services to our people outside of your private company, whether that's taxes, accounting, and you can actually sign off on financial statements, which is the biggest difference between a CPA and an EA, which is a enrolled agent. An enrolled agent, from my understanding, is they are, how can I say this? They are certified, I think it's the right word, or they are enrolled with the IRS to actually do people's tax returns, but they cannot sign off on a financial statement, which our CPAs can.
Okay. So CPAs definitely would obviously, just from that, you're going to have a higher level of education, a high exposure to a lot more things that, particularly if you're getting into complex tax returns, a CPA is, it's like a no-brainer that you have a CPA for sure. There was one other question that I was thinking about, like an example. So when doing taxes, obviously, let's say I'm your client and I'm giving you my tax information, and you can tell by looking at it whether, for the most part, whether there's clearly honest data being given to you. And then you'll just from the sake of doing the job, you can say, this is pushing the envelope. Let's look at this a little bit more. When someone is doing something that is honest and you're still working with doing the data, and then for whatever reason, there's an audit or typical with the government to say, we did not get your application. It was not processed in time. So now we have failure to file, penalties and interest and fees and all of that stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with what happened with the, on my, let's say from my end, bringing it to you, but somehow on the filing end, because you're filing the taxes for me, something happens. But I'm the person that gets the penalties and interest filing fee notice. How do you help that myself if I were your client? Who do you work with me to help me pay those kinds of things? And I know it depends is the answer on that one. How do you handle that in your firm? Because every firm is different.
Knock on wood, I mean, with my old, we've never really experienced something like that happened before. But I've heard stories about other accounting firms who has faced issues like that report. So yeah, it's like the right thing to do is for you to eat that cost. And that's why, as the accounting firm owner, it's important to have good insurance as well. We all make mistakes, and that when mistakes like that happen, you want to make sure that you're properly covered.
Now, is that something that's required, the insurance required by the government, or is that an optional thing for CPAs?
All I know is that when I started my accounting firm, that was one of the first things that I got was getting a insurance coverage. I'm not sure if it's really required by the government, but all I know is that that's one of the first things that I got is getting insurance coverage.
Nice. I didn't even know there was insurance. It makes sense. I just for the note, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've experienced that four times.
Yeah,
Four
sure.
times. And of those four times, two, three of those times, we're still working back and forth with the government to prove that they received the forms. The first time, the accountant firm that I didn't work with anymore, they had handed over the firm to their children. And who were young adults, but didn't follow through. And I ended up having to pay the penalties and interest on that because I didn't have anybody backing me.
I had another horror story. For example, I was at a local real estate meetup last week, and then I was talking to a guy who does sailing, and he was telling me that when he first started his business, he wanted to save money, so he had his lawyer file his taxes for him and the escort. And he had an escort, but his lawyer filed all his taxes using a 1065, which is a partnership return. He thought that he was good until a few years later he got a letter from the IRS saying that he never filed his taxes. And then he said, "What are you guys talking about? I did file my taxes. Here's all my 1065s." And then the IRS said that that is not the correct form. So then, therefore, in our eyes, you never filed your tax return. So that's why he had to get another CPA to go and file those taxes. And then they had to file for tax abatements to hopefully reduce or eliminate those interest and penalties.
Yeah, because they can double the tax. I can double. It's just, oh, I feel when you're telling me that story, I'm just cringing because I'm just like, oh, I've experienced things like that before. I just know exactly what that's about. Jason, we've run out of time, but I have to say this has been phenomenal and I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else? First of all, anything else you want to add to the podcast? And you also tell us, I'll have show notes and on my webpage, I have resources where people would be able to get in touch with you, but do say it on here as well. But is there anything else that you wanted to touch on or just wanted to add to the podcast interview?
No, I wanted to say thank you again, Candice, for having me. And if anybody has a question, please visit my website, which is realestatetaxpro.com, or you can follow me on Instagram. It's realestatetaxpro_official on Instagram.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I totally appreciate it, Jason. It's been a pleasure having you on here, and I'm sure our listeners got a lot out of that. And so thank you everyone for coming on to the podcast. It's been such a joy. I hope you got just as much out of this as I did. And remember that you are your own genie in the bottle. Then so thanks again for listening and join us next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.